is that they really wanted it, you know, and they showed me, like, you should build this app, it's amazing and stuff. It wasn't just, yeah, it's a good app. No, they were like, we want it, we need it, we would pay for it. The goal is you find the right problem. Once you have the right problem, you can build the right app. The market evolved. More Shopify merchants are coming because we have more and more Shopify stores. And so it's harder to work on a Shopify app than it was in 2017.
Welcome to the second episode of Yalla Let's Code podcast, where I interview software engineers to share their entrepreneurial journey. So in this episode, we have another Shopify developer, Matt D'Souza, from Paris, a 26-year-old Shopify developer who is making more than 50K in monthly recurring revenue, MRR, over a half million of annual recurring revenue from two Shopify apps, Wide Bundle and Wide Review. So let's learn more about Matt D'Souza and their strategy to become a successful Shopify app developer. So let's get started.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So I'm Matt D'Souza, I'm 26, I live in Paris, and I built two Shopify apps. So I started in 2020 with Wide Bundle. 1 year later, I built Wide Review, and today we are making almost $54,000 per month with these two apps. We have a team of six people, and yeah, that's it.
First question that I would like to ask you, how did you get started in web development, especially Shopify development?
The web development actually started when I was 13 years old, so it was like a long time ago. So at first, I started for video games. That was the beginning. So basically, I just wanted to build websites for video games. So I started that when I was 13 years old. I kind of like it. And so, you know, it was just a normal thing. I started to do more development and I kept working in that. And I just wanted to, you know, work in the future in the development, in web development. And around 2017, that's when I discovered Shopify. And I love this world, you know, I love the people on Shopify, I love the ecosystem, the merchants and stuff. And so I just thought that it would be great to use my skills in this ecosystem. And so it was like, I didn't want, you know, to work in the ecosystem. It was just, I discovered it, I loved it. And so I started working on that ecosystem. And so I started as a developer, freelance developer. And even before that, I was helping people for free just because I love the ecosystem. So I was helping people for free. So basically, they had a Shopify store. They wanted to change a few things. I knew how to do it. And so they would just ask me and I would do it for free just because I loved it. I was still a student at that time. So I didn't really care about, you know, making money and stuff. It was just like I'm having fun and doing it. And so and that's it. And then as I got more clients, that's when I decided to ask money for it. And so I started to do like freelance job. And then what happened is that I had this network of merchants, more people coming in. They sometimes had the same problem, so they wanted the same thing. And so that's when I decided to build a Shopify app, you know. I just thought it would be great to build a Shopify app so like you have a product, you don't have to sell your time and you can just go with that product. And so I actually built my first Shopify app in 2017. It completely failed. So I built another one, it failed, another one and same thing, but I just, you know, kept on building Shopify apps. And in 2020, that's when I built Wide Bundle, and 1 year later Wide Review, and it's worked since the beginning. We had a pretty crazy growth, and in less than a year, we were making 25K per month.
So one question that I already asked Yunus before, he was also like a Shopify developer and active in the Shopify developer community. What is special about Shopify that you are trying to build something on Shopify? And also you mentioned before that you are trying to help some Shopify store owner for free at the beginning. What is special about Shopify that is making you like a help Shopify store merchant for free and trying to build business on top of that?
Yeah, so actually it was the first community that really enjoyed what they were doing. So it sounds a bit weird, but it was like everyone was helping each other. Everyone was trying to build the perfect Shopify store. Everyone was trying to make money. And so you had kind of, you know, everyone was pushing each other, and it created something. I don't know how to explain, but it created something, and it just pushed me to create more and to start making money. And so I didn't even think about what is great about the community. I think it was just the people. They were so passionate about that. They wanted to do more. They wanted to make more. And so everyone was helping each other, with a few French communities where everyone would post something new. Hey, I just discovered that, or I tried this and it improved my conversion rate. You should try it too. And so it was more like everyone is helping each other, and that's amazing. And then you have this ecosystem where you have many different people. It means if you do something where, you know, everyone is on Shopify, you can meet different type of people. You can meet developers, merchants, you can meet agencies. You have so many different type of people, but everyone will understand each other just because you're in the same ecosystem. And so I just love that, you know. I didn't even think about it. It was like obvious, you know, you're in this ecosystem, it's amazing, and it's growing also. You know, it was like you start with 1,000 people. So we had a French Facebook group with 1,000 people, and then it keeps growing and growing and growing because more people would join this. It's growing, and so it makes it a good business. You know, more people are coming, it's a growing business, so you can make even more money. And so, yeah, that was just, you know, the perfect ecosystem if you wanted to start a new business and if you wanted to go in the e-commerce space.
That's really good answer, and I share the same feeling about the developer community, and also the Shopify community is a very healthy community, and also the founder and the people, the Shopify folk, if they call themselves, they are like a very responsive, and I reach out to them many times and they are very responsive and try to help the developer to be able to build their stuff on their platform. I would like to know more about the first Shopify that you built that was a failing project. I would like to know more what is the Shopify project app, and also how did you find the experience building your first Shopify app in 2017, I think.
Yeah. So I didn't actually have the Shopify app idea. So basically I had two co-founders. They were merchants, so they were Shopify merchants, and they knew many things on the Shopify ecosystem. I didn't. Like, I was a developer, I wasn't a merchant, so I didn't know exactly what they wanted. And so they just told me, I remember we were sitting in a restaurant, they were making a lot of money, I remember, and I remember also telling myself, like, wow, I'm with them at a restaurant, they're making a lot of money, and they want to offer me something. So they had something in mind, and they just told me, like, we should have a restaurant, we should talk about something, we have something to offer you, because we were in the same Shopify community, and they saw that I was a developer and that I was helping people, and people loved my work, and so they just wanted to work with me. And so they told me, like, we have this Shopify app idea, I think everyone will love it because people need it, we need it, so if we can build it with you, we would just split 50-50. So it was two co-founders with me. So it was like 50 for me, 25 for them. And then we just build it and we see how it's going. And I remember telling myself and telling them that it wasn't a great idea. Because at that time, what I thought was you needed a great Shopify app idea. You needed a great SaaS idea. It means you needed something where you would spend hours, weeks, month building it, that it was some great idea with complex technology. And I thought, you know, to make money, you had to have that 1 billion idea. And the problem was that I was wrong at the time, I didn't know it. And so I just told them, all right, I think it's very easy, I can build it in like 1 week, so people won't buy it. If I can only build it in 1 week, people won't buy it because it doesn't make sense. They can just do it themselves. And so I just accepted because I had nothing to lose at that time. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. And so I just accepted. And so I did that. And in the first month, I had more users than we ever had. And so the app was pretty simple. It was just a little pop-up that would be displayed on the store when the merchants were thinking, when the customer was thinking about leaving the store. So it was something very simple. We would show the pop-up, And on that pop-up, we would have a discount code that it could apply on the store. But the thing about that pop-up is that it would work on the checkout. And this is something that you can do today. So it would work on the checkout. So people would have, you know, they go on the checkout, they want to pay, then they think about it and they want to leave the store. And we would show a pop-up, you can apply the discount, and you just had to click on the button, use the discount code, and it would apply the discount immediately to your order. And so it improved the conversion rate like crazy. And so that was the app. And the only problem was that I didn't know anything about marketing. They knew marketing, but only e-commerce marketing. They didn't know anything about SaaS business. And what happened is that we started to grow. We went to 1K per month. So at that time, since I was still a student, it was like amazing. And the only problem is that we stopped growing at some point. We were making 1K per month and we just stopped growing. And the problem was that they were making so much money with the Shopify store that they didn't care about that project anymore. It was too small for them. And the only thing is that I didn't know anything about marketing. So I just tried new things. At that point, I wasn't tracking anything on my app. I didn't know what was wrong. I just thought that I needed more people. So I tried to talk about it everywhere in the Shopify groups. I tried to add more stuff to the app, but nothing worked. And so at some point, Shopify really did something where they just closed the checkout and then we couldn't build anything on the checkout. And so that's when the app just, you know, I had to close it because it didn't work anymore. I mean, it could work for the old people, but not for new one. But since we had a big churn, many people just leave it. And at some point, we're not making any money anymore. And so we just closed it. And what happened here is that I didn't know exactly what was wrong. And that was the problem. It means that the app stopped growing. And I didn't know why, because I wasn't doing the things that I needed to do in order to understand that. Whether it's tracking my different metrics, tracking my data, doing some tests, talking to people, everything. I wasn't doing that because my job was just building. And so I kind of learned how to do everything later. You know, it was like some kind of aha moments where I just thought that I needed to do something else if I wanted to grow a Shopify app. So that was the first experience I had with a Shopify app.
Okay, that's good. From the lesson that you learned, I think it's to keep tracking of your metric from day one, I think, and to be able to have more metric, to be able to benchmark and track your user, talk to the customer first. And what other lesson that you learned during this first experience, other than the marketing stuff?
Yeah, so the first one, I think the most important, as you said, is tracking the data. So you can understand what is going on, and based on what you found, you can then do some actions and see if it fixes the problem. But at least you know what the problem is. At that time, I didn't know if it was the conversion rate, if it was the churn, if it was something else. Then you have to talk to your customers. This is the second thing, constantly, so you can understand what they want, what they need. And then another thing that I learned is you don't build something you think is good. You build something your customers know is good. And so that's the most important thing. It means that at that time, I thought the Shopify app idea was really bad. I really thought it because I wasn't a merchant. And I thought that I had to have a big idea, something I would build for years, you know. And it wasn't the case because I built the first version in a week. And the thing is, you don't build for yourself. You build for the customers, so they know exactly what they want. And what matters here is not how long you will spend on the code, but it's the value people will get from your app. And if they get a lot of value and it makes them a lot of money, even if you spend a week on it, this is the best idea ever. And so that's the third thing. But the problem is I didn't learn this lesson soon enough. You know, it was like I had this app, I made these mistakes, but for the second Shopify app, I didn't use what I had learned because it wasn't something that I knew at the time. It was like, okay, I made this mistake, but I didn't know it was a mistake at the time. It's like later that I knew it was a problem, you know? So I made the same mistakes with the second app and the third one. And I made even more mistakes because with the second app and the third one, I was the one coming with the idea. I didn't have a co-founder at the time. So I didn't have the people to tell me, hey, this app is great. So I just came with an idea. I told myself this idea would be amazing. And it wasn't because I didn't have a single user. So like the best way is you talk to people, you try to understand what they want. Based on that, you will then start building. And the value they will get is the money you will make, not how long you will spend on the code.
So one of the things that you mentioned during the lesson that you learned from your first Shopify app, it's you thought you have a bad idea, but many people that I know, they have the opposite. They are thinking that they have a good idea that will change the end user business and it will make them more money. But at the end, the thing that you mentioned that you need to think about the customer, not yourself, because you are not the one that using the products at the end. The product should solve a real problem, so the end customer should pay for that.
Yeah, I know exactly. So you are not your customers. You want customers, but you're not one of your customers. So how would you know what they want if you're not using your own product? And most people will think about a Shopify app idea, they will build it, and they will see that no one wants it. Because what they think is great is not what other people think is great. And so instead of starting with an idea, you should start with a problem, you talk to people, you understand what they want, and based on that, you can build something that they will actually use and pay for it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And talking about this process, how do you would like to approach this process? For example, you would like to reach to the potential Shopify store owner directly on some Facebook group. How do you would like to approach this process of reaching out to the potential customer and to discover the real problem?
Yeah, so the goal is talk to as many people as possible who are in your target customers. This is the best thing. And I don't care if you have to talk to 1,000 people, 10,000 people, the goal is talk to as many people as possible. This is why if you know already Shopify merchants, it's easier for you because you know exactly where you have to go in order to find them. But if it's not the case, what you have to do is you have to start thinking like them. Because if you look around you, it's easy for you to find people like you. You know, if you're a developer, it's easy for you to find developers just because you think like you, you know? So you know exactly where you have to go, what communities you have to join, what events you have to attend, and you will do things that these people will do too. So if you just try to think like a Shopify merchant and you start searching for things that they will search, if you start attending events that they would attend, if you start following people that they would follow, at some point you will start to talk and you'll start to find many Shopify merchants. So the goal is try to go where they are and try to talk to as many people as possible. I have Shopify developers who reach out, they send me a DM and they told me, I don't understand. I don't know how to find Shopify merchants. And I just tell them, look at what you did right here. You sent me a DM, you know me, you're following me, you're sending me a DM. Why don't you do the same with Shopify merchants? If you go and if you send DMs to people on Shopify, if you start doing the job, creating a Shopify store, then at some point you will notice many different people in Shopify ecosystem that are merchants. You will talk to them. And you will have conversations, you know? You love Shopify app, so it's easy for you to talk about Shopify app with me. And you should do the same with an e-commerce store, basically. And if you do it, you will start to notice problems, and these problems will become your Shopify app. And this is something that is complicated for most people, because you have to change your mind, you have to change the way you think, and you have to start thinking like someone else, like your customer. And that's why it's also easy for people to build a business when they are building the business for people like them. So if I'm a SaaS founder and I'm building a business for a SaaS founder, the only thing I have to do is just be myself, because in that case, I will find potential customers and I will be a potential customer myself. And you have to do the same with Shopify store, basically.
We just mentioned your first Shopify app. I would like to know more about the second and the third one, about like the the idea behind them.
Yeah, exactly. So the second Shopify app was, so it was around the time GDPR started to be a thing in Europe, and we had many things to do. People didn't know exactly what they had to do on the Shopify store in order to be compliant. And so I decided to create a little app that would show a little banner on the store to show that we are using cookies, you can accept it, and people could show anything they wanted on the store. And the problem is that I didn't ask people what they wanted. I just thought, since we have GDPR, I think people will need it, so let's build it and we'll see. And so people didn't need it, or at least people didn't need that app exactly. Maybe they needed something else, I don't know. So that was the second app. Nobody used it, so you know, I didn't have any user. And the second one was a way to track the other people price to understand, you know, how the competition is evolving, see if they are changing the prices of their product. So it was just doing some benchmark, you know, trying to follow the people in the same market as you to understand if they are doing some discounts, to see if they are updating their prices and stuff. Because at that time, I thought that people would be interested in knowing what is going on in the markets to see how they should do with their own product. You know, if I have a brand where I can sell, I don't know, like some clothes, something like that, then you can follow the other stores like that and see if they are doing some special things so you can see the trends and adapt. But people didn't need it also. So I spent months building it, and at the end, nobody needed it. So I just closed that app and I just moved on.
What's the number of the Shopify app that you built? And what's the number of the wide bundle, the Shopify app that succeeds? Is it number 4 or number 5?
Yeah, so wide bundle is number 4. So I built 3 apps before. I stopped. After the third app, I just thought it wasn't for me. Like, I just told myself I should stop. It's not for me. And it's only 2 years or something like that after, in 2020, that I decided to build wide bundle. So it was the 4th app. And 1 year later, I built Wide Review. Same thing, I didn't make the same mistakes. And it's the 5th app. And so I have 2 apps right now, Wide Bundle and Wide Review.
Okay, so for people that they don't know about Wide Bundle, it's currently Wide Bundle and Wide Review, I think, making over $500,000 on like an annual revenue. It's about 52K MRR. To get more detail about what is Wide Bundle does and also Wide Review, so for people who don't know this app.
Yeah, sure. So the goal of Wide Bundle is to create bundles on the Shopify store. So I want to sell something. Let's say I want to sell a t-shirt. I will just sell it. And instead of selling one product, what I will do is that I will show different offers to sell more of the same product or to sell more of a complementary product. And the goal is to increase the average order value in order to increase the amount you will make from each customer. And we will show it in a beautiful way so you can change the design, you can display many things in order to push the customers to buy more. That's Wide Bundle. Wide Review is an app to collect and show reviews on the Shopify store. And the goal is to put the reviews again in the... So what we wanted exactly with Wide Review was to show reviews in a better way. So we created a different design than what we used to see on the Shopify App Store. I wanted to create a better design where we would show beautiful images, show them in a carousel, change the design. And so the goal is basically to increase the conversions where people would see the reviews, they would actually read them, and they will, you know, make decisions based on the reviews.
Okay, Mexa, you mentioned that you start Wide Bundle in 2020. Is it the same year that Shopify
Yes.
released like the Shopify App Challenge, or the year after?
No, honestly, I don't know exactly. I didn't build my app based on the challenge.
Okay, makes sense.
So I think it was probably the year later, but I think they had, I don't remember exactly if they had a challenge every year or something like that. I didn't start Wide Bundle with a challenge.
Okay, because I remember like a Shopify release, a Shopify app challenge where they are trying to be able to motivate developer to build a Shopify, and I think they have like some prices and stuff. I would like to know more about how did you come the idea of white bundle. Is it from you as a Shopify store owner, or is it from a customer that you work with? How the idea did come out?
Yeah, so I did exactly what I said. It means that I was already working with a few Shopify merchants. So I talked to them, I tried to find some problems. I was in a few French Facebook groups. Same thing, I would scroll through the posts, engaging with people, trying to understand. And since I was in these communities and I was in this ecosystem for many years now, I knew what was going on. And at some point, I noticed three different people who wanted the same thing. So they wanted a different bundle app. They wanted something different, different design, a different system. And they were really enthusiastic about it. It means that they really wanted it, you know, and they showed me like, you should build this app. It's amazing and stuff. It wasn't just, yeah, it's a good app. No, they were like, we want it. We need it. We would pay for it. And so what I did is I found something, you know, so a few people wanted, and I just wanted to see if more people would use it. So I created a simple mockup on Photoshop where I would show what the app would look like. So basically, this is the app. This is what I think I will create. And I then use that mockup in the different communities to the different people. And I said, would you use that? And so I noticed many other people wanted an app like that because they had the same problem in the French market, especially in the French market. And so I just decided to build it because I knew at that time people would use it. And what's great about it is that I didn't build the app myself. I made them build the app for me because I just asked them, what do you want on this app? Do you want this feature? Do you want this one? How much would you pay for it? And so they just told me everything I needed in order to build the app. And I built the first version in 2 weeks. And so in 2 weeks, I just pushed them the app. I said, use the app. And what's great about launching a Shopify app at that time is that you didn't have to go through the Shopify approval process at that time. It wasn't mandatory. So I just asked them, install the app, try it, and we'll improve it. And so this is exactly what I did. I talked to people, they told me about the problem, I built something for that problem, and I started to use it.
That's really good. That's really like a good showcase of your strategy of how to come in with a Shopify app. Yeah. And it's really like a good way to be able to demonstrate the powerful of this approach. So one of the things that you did a lot in your social media is transparency. So you share a lot of number in your social media about the number of install, the number of revenue. How did you think about building in public, and did you get hesitate at first from sharing the number in social media?
Yeah, so when I started building Shopify apps in 2017, I didn't find someone sharing how they had built their own Shopify app. We didn't have a lot of documentation at that time. And so I just thought that when I built my apps and it was working, I just told myself, I want to be the guy I wanted to meet when I started. It was simple as that. And so to be the guy I wanted to meet, I had to share a lot of things. So I had to share how I did it, what were my apps, what I did, what I do, what were the problems, how I fixed them. And it was also sharing the numbers to show I had this conversion rate. This is what I did. I had this number. This is the number of installs I had. And so it was just, you know, kind of the value. The value is, I want to be the guy I wanted to meet when I started. And so I just did what this sentence was about. So I started to share everything. And no, I didn't really think about should I share everything or not. I just knew I wanted to do it.
That's really good. So I also saw this quote that you mentioned in your LinkedIn bio. So today I just want to be the guy I want to meet when I started. It's really good and it's really powerful and I really love it. And also I think we share the same thing, because also when I was learning Shopify development at that time, there is not a lot of content around Shopify development. So I start blogging about how to become a Shopify and share some Shopify technical article, and it's really matching what the code said, and it's really good, and the sharing is caring, and I love that. So for you as a successful Shopify app owner, what's the best strategy to build a Shopify app from scratch 2023-2024? So what will be the best strategy from coming from idea? I think we already mentioned about coming from idea, building the idea, start marketing, and the post launch stuff, and like some launch marketing, like trips and tricks, yeah. And also some post launch, because not many people talk about what they should do after they launch the Shopify app, and how they need to communicate with their client and to be able to have lower churn rate.
Yeah, so that's a very complicated question. I mean, it takes time to explain that. And first of all, the goal is you find the right problem. Once you have the right problem, you can build the right app, because it's easier to build an app when you know people already need it. If you know people need it, it means you have your early customers. You have your early customers because you built your app based on problems, and the problems come from people. So you have the people already. You have a few people. Even if it's only 5 people, it doesn't matter. You have people. You can build the app with them. You can start building with them. You can ask them to invite more people. Do they know someone that can install the app? Do they know someone they can refer to or something? And the goal is to have more early people. You can offer them a discount, right? What I did was that I offered them a discount. I added 14 days for free, so they could just use the app, build it with me. And it's something that is important, you know. Even if the app is not great, even if the app is very small, if you build something that they really need, you can sell this app day one. You don't have to wait for it to be perfect. Because if people need it, then they would use it even if it's not perfect. This is the thing that you have to understand here. And so you improve the app at a time. This is your launch. And what you will do then is when the customers will tell you, this app is great, I love it, this is when you can start to launch on the Shopify App Store. And so what you do is that you put your app live on the Shopify App Store. So you list it, because during all the time where you were improving it, the app was unlisted. And so the goal of that thing is, the moment you go live on the Shopify App Store, you can ask all the people you have on your app to leave a review, and the algorithm will show your app to more people, because the algorithm on the Shopify App Store will see that your app is new and it's getting a lot of reviews quickly. And so the algorithm will just say, all right, this new app is great, let's push it to more people. You will probably appear on the homepage, like, you know, you will be featured on the homepage, you will start to get more people, Shopify will start to recommend your app to other Shopify merchants. And so you can start from there. What I would do is that I will use a strategy on the Shopify App Store to get more customers from the App Store. So a good strategy is to use the staircase strategy. So this is what I call the staircase strategy, where you will have a different number of keywords. So you have many keywords you can rank on, but some keywords are more complicated to rank on because you already have competitors. If I take an example for white bundle, the keyword bundle is very big. You have a lot of competitors. If you have a new app and you want to rank on the keyword bundle, the problem is that you won't be on the first page. You will be probably on the fourth page, fifth page, I don't know. But the thing is, people won't find your app. And if they won't find your app, they won't install it. So it doesn't matter if this keyword has a lot of traffic, because if you can't get that traffic, then it doesn't make sense to use that keyword. So what I would do instead is that I would focus on smaller keywords. So for example, instead of bundles, I could be using offers, something like that. And I will then do everything to rank on these keywords. Because they are smaller, it's easier to rank on the first page. And because it's a smaller keyword, you will also have fewer people using that keyword. So if you put it, for example, in your app title, if you put it on your tagline, then it will be easier for you to rank in the first positions. And even though this keyword doesn't have a lot of traffic, you will still have installs because you are getting all that small traffic. And so as you get more people, you know, more users, more installs, you need to talk to as many merchants as possible, as many of your users as possible. So whenever you have an install, you need to engage the conversation, you need to understand why they installed, what keyword they typed, you need to understand what problems they faced, what other app they tried. Basically, you need to understand everything about the business and about them. And so the more conversation you will have, the more knowledge you will have about your markets, you will notice words that they use, problems that they have, and you will be able to use these words, to use these problems in your Shopify app listing. Because if you notice 10 people have the same problems and it's a problem that you didn't notice and you put it in your listing, then people with the same problem will see that you have this problem here and that your app is fixing it, and so they will install it. And so the goal is, as you get more reviews, because every time you have a conversation, you have to ask people for reviews. And so every time you have a review, what you will do is that you will change the keywords you're ranking on. So instead of using a small keyword, you will start with the bigger one. And because you have more reviews and your app is older and you have more installs, then it will be easier for you to rank on these keywords. And so you will start to go, and it's a staircase strategy, because you start with a small one and you increase like that. And so that's the first thing. You can start with the Shopify App Store. And this is if you have a strategy where you want to go mass markets, right? Because you can have a different strategy where your goal is, for example, to build an app for plus merchants. So merchants that that are making way more money. And so in that case, what you can do is that you can just go and find people one by one. You do the same thing, you attend events, and your goal is not to use the Shopify App Store. And instead, it's just to get more and more people and get referrals from these people. And this is another strategy. But this is what I did with the mass markets. But I know people who did the other strategy where you build an app for plus merchants. And it works too. It's great. It's two different things, you know. And so as you get more people, you will, you know, it's not an exact science. It's not like you have that, then this is what you should do. Because everything will be different based on your app, based on the people you have, based on what will happen. And in that moment, what I would do is that I would use Mixpanel. I would track the data to understand exactly what I should do. I would talk to my people, and based on the situation, I will know what I have to do. Because perhaps what you will have is that you will have a lot of installs. Maybe you will have a lot of installs, but not many people converting at the end. And so your problem at that moment would be, how do I get more people to convert? Or maybe it will be the contrary. Maybe you will have a lot of like a big conversion rates, but not many people, not many installs. And so what you would do in that case is, how do I get more people in? So perhaps I should do some app partnerships. Perhaps I should go with Shopify influencers. I don't know. But the thing is, based on the situation at that moment, you have to change what you have to do. And this is why you don't really see people saying something about what do you do after that? Because after that, it depends on what you have. But then you can understand your merchants, get as many conversations as possible, track your data so you know exactly what you have and what problem you have. So you can track, for example, the installation rate on the Shopify App Store, the percent of people that are actually installing your app after seeing your listing. You can check how many people are installing, then how many people are actually using your app, so they are activated, so your activation rate, then how many people are converting, and you have many different metrics. And based on the metrics that are bad, you can improve them and you can focus on them. So you track the metrics, you see what metric is bad, then you make assumptions, why are they bad, and then you make some tests, this is what I can do, this is what I can do, and your goal is to improve it. And sometimes it will take time, sometimes it will be pretty quick.
So one of the things that you mentioned is the Shopify app partnership.
Right?
Can you elaborate more about this one?
To grow. So one good channel, as I mentioned, is the Shopify app partnerships. So you can do partnership with other Shopify app founders. You can start, for example, a blog, and then it will be like any SaaS product, you know. You have many different channels to grow. But the thing is, what do you have? What you should do at the time.
So one of the things that you mentioned is the Shopify app partnership. Can you elaborate more about this one?
Yeah, sure. So What we have to understand is that the number from Shopify is like every Shopify store is using 6 apps on average. It's something like that, 6 apps. So you know that another Shopify app, since they have Shopify merchants too, they are potential partners. Because if they put your app in the dashboard, if they talk about your app, then you might get some customers from their app, basically. And so all the apps on the Shopify App Store are potential customers. So you can use that in order to get more traffic and more trust, because people will see your app in many different places. They will go click on your app, and you can do some co-marketing activities. So for example, I will put your app in my dashboard. I will send emails about your app. I will do a blog post. You have many different things, but basically it's just about what can you do for me? What can I do for you? And we'll just, you know, share our users that way so you can get more and more people. And let's take an example. Let's say you have one partner that is bringing you 10 users per month. Then you can have 10 partners and you will get 100 people.
Because, for example, we are just getting started in the Shopify app store listing. You will not have a lot of install. If there is do you recommend a posting on Product Hunt, Reddit, or some other stuff to be able to just get the first install and to get your first review in your Shopify app so you can grow in the Shopify app store listing?
No, I don't think it's important, because the first people you will have on your app are people that you will get one by one. This is a strategy I did. You should go after merchants one by one, have conversations, find potential customers. And so if you can get 10 people like that and they can recommend other people, then you will have enough traffic, enough reviews, and enough stuff to go on the Shopify App Store and get more and more people from that. These are your first installs. You don't need to go and do some Product Hunt launch or something like that. It doesn't really matter for that. If you have to do it, it probably means that you started a Shopify app idea instead of a Shopify app problem. You know, it means you don't have anyone and it will be way harder. I mean, you can do it, but it's not the way I recommend, because the easiest way is you go, you talk to people, you find problems. Once you have problems, you know what you have to build. And so they will be your early customers and they will get this early traction that you can use in order to grow even more.
Okay, it makes sense. So one of the myths about Shopify apps, I think I read something about it. It's the Shopify app market, it's a bit oversaturated. Did you agree with that or not?
I mean, it's harder to start than when I started in 2017. Of course, we have more apps. But at the same time, the market of the Shopify stores is growing. It means you'll have more and more Shopify stores. At the same time, Shopify is releasing new stuff, new features. So it creates new needs and new opportunities for apps to build something using these new features, right? Shopify released Shopify Functions. It was quite new. No one was using it because it didn't exist. So this is an opportunity because it will create needs and you can go on that market on this new need. And then Shopify merchants will also have different needs. As they evolve, they will have different things. They want different stuff. And so this is also something you can go with. You can start with another need, a new thing. The market evolve. More Shopify merchants are coming because we have more and more Shopify stores. And so it's harder to work on a Shopify app than it was in 2017, of course, but it's not saturated.
Okay. That's good. So what are the resources that you would like to recommend for someone that's getting started in the Shopify app development? Like a technical, some marketing book, if you have some YouTube channel that you would like to recommend for someone just getting started and they would like to get their hand dirty in the Shopify app development?
Yeah, so first of all, regarding technical documentation, the Shopify documentation is perfect, so you can go with that. And then obviously you have to use the programming language that you already know. This is something very important. Even if Shopify recommends, I don't know, Node.js or Remix or something else, You should go with what you already know. This is really important because you don't want to spend time learning a new language because you're here to make money. And if you want to make money, you're not here to learn something new. And then a book that I recommend to everyone, especially developers that are trying to learn marketing, it's Zero to Sold by Arvid Carl. This is an amazing book that will explain basically what I said. So how do you go and find your target customers? How do you talk to them? How do you bootstrap this business? How do you build it? And how you make money from it? So this is another great book. And then you have some other books, but this one is the first one. If you have to go with one book, it would be that one.
Okay, is it Zero to One or Zero to Sold?
Zero to Sold.
Okay, because there's another book, it's called Zero to One, I think.
Yeah, there is also Zero to One, but that one is Zero to Sold by Arvid Carl.
Okay, that's good. So I saw, I think in September, that you make a Shopify event in Paris. Can you give us more detail about this one?
Yeah, so I've been hosting Shopify events for many years now. So we had created the White Event. It was a French Shopify event only for Shopify merchants. So we had 100 people, 200 people sometimes during this event. And for that one, what I wanted to do, so the event in Paris on September, is that I wanted to change the way this event was. So instead of doing a French Shopify event, I decided to do an English one, so in Paris. And instead of hosting an event just for merchants, I wanted an event for everyone in the ecosystem, whether you're an agency, a merchant, a developer. And so that's what I did. It was kind of a challenge because I didn't know if I would be able to get people from all around the world to come to Paris. And it was English, so I didn't know if I would get the sponsors and the people because it was quite new to me. So it was a challenge, but it was like a success. So it was at Le Grand Rex in Paris. So amazing place for the events. We had 100 people at that event. We had agencies, merchants, developers. So we had many different people. So that was amazing. And yeah, it was a great event.
That's really good. One of the things that I would like to mention, I was planning to attend the event, but because of visa purposes, I could not make it at that time. Hopefully, maybe next event I will be attending for this wide event.
Yeah.
Thank you
so much. So what I will do for the next one is that I will try to tell about this event earlier.
Yeah.
You know, because it was like only 2 months. Yeah, it was too.
Yeah,
close.
I think it was two or three weeks
before. Yeah, exactly.
I think you just mentioned it 2 or 3 weeks before, and I have to get a visa, and it does take much longer than this. So for people that would like to know more about you, where you would like to recommend them to go, like your social media handle and your personal website also.
Yeah, so you can go to X. So it's Twitter, you know, X, the new platform.
Okay.
So you can go to X. So DSMATIE. So this is where I share everything. You also have my newsletter. So news.mattdesouza.com. So you can go and read one email per week where I will share what I'm doing at a time. But if you want to be, you know, aware of everything I'll be doing, Twitter is enough. So go on Twitter, follow me, and you will have everything. So whether I'm hosting an event or if I'm sharing something, a new problem or something.
That's really good. So thank you so much, Matt D'Souza, for accepting my invitation and being the guest for this episode. And I learned so much because also I am building my first Shopify app and I am about launch it. And it's still in early stage. And I learned many techniques from this episode. And hopefully the audience also learned some technique that they could apply from day one. And thank you so much. One of the things that I would like to ask you before, what's the guest that you would like to recommend for the next episode?
Thanks for having me. And the guest I would like you to invite is Gil. Gil, I will send you the contact, but Gil would be an amazing guest.
Okay, that's really good. Thank you so much, and see you for the next episode.
Welcome.